Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. While you're turning over there, I'll remind you about the service tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll be bringing a message on the consequences of sin. We're going to be talking about the three deaths. There's the spiritual death. There is physical death. And there is the eternal death, the consequences of sin, 6 o'clock this evening. Wednesday evening, we will begin a study on the millennial temple, the last 13 chapters of the book of Ezekiel. So come out and be with us in that service, if you will. Matthew chapter 8, I'd like to begin reading in verse 5. Which says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them all that followed him, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. The place where this incident took place is Capernaum. Capernaum is that beautiful city whose name means village of consolation. I visited the ruins of an ancient synagogue there in Capernaum, dating back to the days of Christ. The city of Capernaum lies on the southwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee. In Jesus' day, there was a Roman military post there with many soldiers stationed at that place. Now, a centurion is an officer in the Roman army who has command over 100 men. This military man had been assigned to this duty far away from his homeland. He's like many of our service personnel today, away from home in a foreign country. There are several centurions mentioned in the New Testament, by the way. Maybe one of these days we'll do a study on them. But this particular one is outstanding because of his great faith. He was a believer in God, and he was also a believer in Jesus Christ. He was a good man. He was held in high regard by the Jews of Capernaum. In fact, Luke records that the elders of the Jews were sent out first to contact Jesus and sort of break the ice and prepare him they were going to intercede with Christ for him. And they vouched for him. And they said of him, and this is interesting because at that time the Romans controlled that area of Judea. And here were a people who were in subjection to foreign soldiers. And yet these people said, "He is worthy that you should come and heal his servant. He loves our nation and has built us a synagogue." That was nice of him, wasn't it? And he was a very humble man. He said, "Lord, trouble not thyself. I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee." He had a humble attitude toward Christ, didn't he? He certainly was not a proud, egotistical, pompous, arrogant, overbearing, rank-heavy man throwing his weight around among a subjected people like you might expect somebody like that to be. He had that power, but he didn't use it. Now this centurion had a young servant. His servant was sick with a palsy, and he was ready to die. He was grievously tormented. That means that he was suffering great pain and physical discomfort. He was tormented. And the centurion had compassion for his servant. He cared about him. And now he's begging Jesus to come and to heal him. He believed that Jesus had the power to heal him of his sickness. Now that's faith. That is faith. And Jesus answered him and said, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion made a surprising statement. He said, "Jesus, you don't have to come. Just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." And in response to this statement of faith, Jesus said to him, "Go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed at that very moment because that centurion had faith to believe that Jesus could heal from a distance. Jesus never met this man that he healed. He never touched him, never laid his hands on him. He never spoke a word over him. But yet, he made him whole from a distance. Now that's good news for those of you who may not be saved yet. Because Jesus does not have to come and visit you personally and lay his hands on you or speak some magical words to get you into the kingdom of heaven. The Bible tells us that Jesus died on the cross. And on that cross he paid the penalty for our sins. The Bible tells us that he rose from the dead the third day and that he ascended back to heaven where he's seated at God's right hand even now today. you may think, well, how can I get to him? How can I reach him? How can I get near enough for him to save me? How can I reach him? He is so far away from earth. But you don't have to worry about that. You can be saved from your sin, even though Jesus is, quote, far away. He can save you from a distance, just as he did this centurion's servant. You can call upon his name, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, that's the background. That's the introduction to our message this morning. I want to direct your attention to the words of Jesus that he spoke here to, quote, all the people that followed him. And, of course, all of these, I think, were Jewish people, the major crowd. And I refer to verses 11 and 12. Jesus turned to this multitude of people and said to them, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that wonderful? But the children of the kingdom, who? The children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now let's ask the question here. On the one hand, we've got the kingdom of heaven. On the other hand, we've got outer darkness. It's one of the two for the eternal destiny of the soul, every soul. Now notice first that Jesus is the Savior of all people, of all races, and all ethnic groups who come to him and trust him as their personal Savior. That's a hard point to get across to some people. Because in this world today, there are many divisions. Racial problems all over the world. But Jesus said, from the east and from the west, there will be multitudes of people in the kingdom of heaven from the countries of the east. When we talk about the east, we may think of China, Japan, the Koreas, India, Australia, the Philippines, all the islands of the Pacific, Cambodia, Vietnam, Indonesia, it makes no difference where you go. By the way, I heard some good news about China the other day. You don't read this in the newspaper. They don't advertise it very much. But they say that even in China, in that country, that communist country, under heavy persecution of Christians, that Christianity is literally exploding.
Amen.
Did you know there are an estimated 1,000, somebody said 1,000 converts to Christ every hour in that communist land? That's China. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's fulfilling Jesus' prophecy here. People are being saved in Mexico. and South America and Brazil and Argentina and Chile and Yugoslavia. I just threw that in to see if you were listening. People are even getting saved here in the United States. Europe, Asia, Africa, everywhere. Read our missionary letters and you'll see how the work of God is progressing throughout the world. Remember this, God's arm is not shortened that it cannot save. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I am not ashamed, Paul said, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. Everyone. Now, I was talking to Brother Sam Burton out here in our congregation. And we were talking about a universal language that will be spoken in heaven. What language will we speak in heaven? Maybe Hebrew? Did you recall that the world, everybody in the world used to speak one common language? One language. For the first 1,767 years, everybody could talk to everybody else in a language they understood. It was not until 2208 B.C. that God himself came down and confounded and confused the languages at the Tower of Babel. But I'll tell you, when we get to heaven, whatever language it is, I don't think we'll have any trouble learning to speak that language. I think we'll just instantly know it and understand it. We won't need translators. We won't need interpreters. That's the hardest thing in the world for me to do. I'm sure that when Sam was in Brazil, he learned the Spanish language and the Brazilian language of Portuguese and this. But probably you used a translator sometimes or interpreter whenever you preached. I tried that one time in Mexico. I got to listen. I would say something and then I would try to listen to what the person was saying and I'd lose my train of thought. I don't know how that message came out. But it must have been pretty good. We had a half a dozen people saved at the end of it. I don't know what he said, but it must have been good. But anyway, when we get to heaven, God may have to do like he did on the day of Pentecost with the gift of tongues. But we'll sit down at the banquet table in heaven, in the kingdom of heaven, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'll say to Abraham in English with a Texas accent, pass the potatoes. And Abraham, having never heard my language, will understand what I'm saying. He'll reach up and pass the potatoes. That's when we get to heaven. But we'll sit down at that banquet table and have sweet fellowship at that banquet table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And I believe Adam will be there and Enoch and Noah and David and Isaiah and Elijah and Peter and James and John and even Paul. Man, what a day that's going to be. I'll see my mom and daddy again. I'll see my brother Charles again. And don't even think for a moment that there's only going to be a handful of converts in heaven. That place is going to be so populated you'll think you're in the middle of New York City. Many, he said, shall be there. And they're coming from every nation, from every direction. John describes it in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. He said, and they sung a new song, saying, and here's the words to it, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Jesus said they will come from the east and from the west in the kingdom of heaven. You see, these Jewish Pharisees that he was speaking to thought that they were the only ones that were going to heaven. They thought if you weren't a Pharisee, that you couldn't be saved. By the way, we have a few religious denominations like that in the world today. If you don't belong to their group, they think you're going to hell. Wrong. Yeah. Well, I wish I could quit there, but I can't. The next point's not quite as cheerful as the first. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The children of the kingdom, so far as I can find out here, are the Jews who do not believe in Jesus Christ. They belong to the kingdom by right because they are children of Abraham. But they're cast aside. They're thrown out. They're left out of the banquet. And they are consigned to outer darkness where there's tears and gnashing of teeth. And those are terms that are usually associated with hell. Well, what does that mean to us today? I would say that these children of the kingdom may very well represent those who have been raised in godly homes, those who have been taken to church when they were growing up, those who have a Christian background, those who have heard about Jesus Christ in the Sunday school class, but they've turned from the way of godliness. They've had ample opportunities to be saved, but they never took advantage of it. They have parents who've prayed for them, but they've never prayed for themselves. Christ died on the cross and shed his blood so that we might be saved, so that we might go to heaven when we die, and all of our sins would be pardoned and forgiven and cleansed by the blood. If you've never done so, may God grant you the grace to believe and to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, so that you can experience this great and eternal joy of salvation. God forbid that you should have to go to that awful place of outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. When Jesus invites you to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask today that the Holy Spirit of God may take the words that have been preached and speak to hearts today. There may be those in this congregation who have children that are unsaved. There may be those who have loved ones who are not in the kingdom of heaven. There may be someone here that has heard but has never received the Word of God. And I pray today that as this invitation is given, that they may open their hearts to Christ, who said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door and let me come in, I will sup with him and he with me." Jesus wants to come into your heart today. Will you open it and by faith receive him as we sing this invitation song today? Father, thank you again for your grace, your great grace. In Jesus' name, amen.